words from the gospel. And a voice came from heaven. You are my son, the beloved. In the name of God, source, word, and life-giving spirit. Amen. In the days leading up to my ordination, I went away to a friend's cottage for some quiet reflection. It was a time with no other objective than to be still, a time to prepare myself by listening for the voice of God, you would say. And these were wonderful, restorative, and refreshing days. When the retreat had ended, I opened Google on my phone and got the driving directions to take me home. But as I had the time, I opted for the scenic route on the roads less traveled and turned my navigation off. By the time I passed south of Lake Simcoe, I was on unfamiliar country roads late at night. So I reopened Google Maps for some guidance. But the familiar navigation voice was silent. No voice that said, turn left in 600 meters, or continue straight. Just silence. Vaguely driving south toward Toronto without any sense of where I might be is not the way I had intended to spend the final hours before my ordination. Why isn't Google talking? What's wrong with the navigation? Help. Where do I turn? How do I get home? Today in the life of the church, we celebrate the baptism of Jesus, a moment when the voice of God speaks definitively. This is my son, the beloved. Words that in the life of faith give us help, tell us where to turn, and speak to us about how to get home. I want to explore how baptism reshapes our life in three ways. First, to see the baptized life as a new creation. Second, to see the baptized life as a sharing in the life and death of Jesus. And third, to see the baptized life as being characterized by an unrelenting urge to listen to God's voice in prayer. My first point, how the baptized life can be seen as a new creation. In our first lesson, we read from the very beginning of the creation story in the book of Genesis. And although it seems very different from the gospel, these scriptures share three features. In Genesis, there is watery chaos. In the gospel, the waters of the Jordan River. In Genesis, the Holy Spirit hovers like a wind or a breath. In the gospel, the Spirit hovers in the form of a dove as it descends on Jesus. In Genesis, the voice of God speaks, let there be light. And in the gospel, God speaks, let it be known, this is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. The connections of water, the Holy Spirit, and the voice of God led the early Christian community to start speaking of baptism as a new creation. St. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. So the beginning of Christian life is a little like a new beginning of God's creative work. But God doesn't simply start fresh. God doesn't check out the old and bring in the new. God works with what is there. Just as out of the depths of chaotic water, God transforms it into the earth and all that is therein. Out of the depths of our being, God transforms us. Former Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, writing on baptism, says, that as the church reflected on what baptism means, it came to view it as a kind of restoration of what it is to be truly human, to recover the humanity that God first intended. Williams goes on to ask, and what is it that God intended for us? His reply takes us right to the heart of our gospel, that we could rightly be called God's sons and God's daughters, as Jesus is called God's Son, the Beloved. The recreating act of baptism makes this incredibly bold claim that our human identity, at its deepest level, is to be children of God. Of course, we often forget that identity, or abandon it, or corrupt it. But as a baptized person, we are someone who is trying to grow into such love for God, and to have such confidence in God's love, that we are recreated as God intended us to be, as children of God. My second point, how the baptized life is a sharing in the life and death of Jesus. For Christians, Jesus is like the GPS navigator. We are led by both his life and his death into a new way of life, into becoming a new creation. But the interesting thing about Jesus is that he leads us from within. Jesus has to come down to the chaos of our human world. He places himself fully on our level, submits himself to the same dangers we face. He is born in a country occupied by foreign oppressors, and he is forced to flee from the king of his own people to yet another country. In his ministry, he knows vulnerability and unprotectedness, as an ever-growing number of opponents gather until eventually the crowds turn against him. In his death, he experiences abandonment and cruel violence. By placing himself within humanity, Jesus is not shielded from any part of it as he seeks to recreate us. Archbishop Williams puts it this way: the new humanity created by Jesus happens right in the depths of chaos, where humanity is most at risk, where humanity is most disordered, disfigured, and needy. And so if Christians are led by Jesus, guided by his life and death, it means that we are being led towards chaos and neediness, precisely because that is where Jesus went. We can all think of the chaos that happened in the American Capitol this past week, or the chaos of the global pandemic that has turned our lives upside down. But we are also speaking about the chaos of our own life. A baptized Christian is someone who is not afraid to look honestly at their own life and recognize the places of chaos and inhumanity within. A baptized person is led into the depths by Jesus, into the depths of our own human need, and into the depths of the human needs that surround us. But baptism also means being in the depths of God's love, being in the depths of where the Spirit is recreating us as God meant us to be. My third point, the baptized life is being characterized by an unrelenting urge to listen to God's voice in prayer. If our baptism is going to lead us into the chaos of our lives and the lives of those around us, it is normal to want a little guidance, a little direction. It is rather frightening for Jesus, our GPS, to say, head for the middle of the chaos and take the risk of love. Archbishop Williams jokes that perhaps baptism should come with a health warning attached to it. If you take this step, if you go into these depths, it will be transfiguring, exhilarating, life-giving, and very, very dangerous. But if we agree to follow Jesus, our guide, into the chaos. We also agreed to follow Jesus and trusting God as our ultimate defense. The armor of God is very much the opposite of armor in the traditional sense, because in order to put it on, we have to let our defenses down before God. We have to hear what Jesus hears. This is my son, this is my daughter, even when we want to be a rebellious teenager. We have to pray as Jesus prays, with the conviction that when we say our Father in heaven, we have the intimacy of a parental relationship, even when God seems a million miles away. We have to open ourselves up to receive the Holy Spirit, so that in time we might open ourselves to others and share the life of the Spirit with those closest to us. Letting go of our own defenses and relying on God is a lifelong journey of prayer, openness, and listening. Sometimes it is a prayer that happens beyond our understanding and from a place so deep in our depths, we really cannot see what is happening. St. Paul, writing to the Romans, puts it this way: the Spirit helps us in our weakness. That very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. I confess that prayer beyond words can be unrewarding, frustrating, and frankly annoying. So often we want the GPS style of prayer. Give us the most efficient directions and avoid the traffic jams, the tolls, and the ferries. So often we want prayer to reroute us away from the chaos. But we also know that being baptized does not lead us into this type of life. Just as Jesus' baptism did not lead him away from Jerusalem, our baptism does not remove us from our challenges. Instead, baptism leads us to a place of prayer. It is more a welling up of the Spirit inside of us towards God. Prayer that happens just because that is what God does in us when we are close to Jesus. Prayer that just happens more like an unrelenting urge to listen to God, to listen to the words, "This is my son, this is my daughter, my beloved," so that as children of God, we might go forward with God's love as we seek to follow in his son's footsteps. Amen.